Good morning. On this last Sunday before the Feast of Christ the King and the conclusion of the church year, the church reflects on the sermon about the last things, the apocalyptic or eschatological sermon, variously reported in each of the Gospels and given just before the Passion story, so it comes here towards the end of the year. Now, there's some important things here for us to know, but it needs to be considered very carefully, steer a course between two very dangerous extremes, both of which are quite popular, actually. There's a lot of folks who listen to all of this and say, oh, wow, you know, the end of the world. And you get popular movies to that effect. You get all kinds of literature to that effect. And you get a large amount of preaching to that effect. Well-meaning, sincere, religious people, mostly Protestant these days, but still some fair number of Catholics, who preach these hellfire and brimstone sermons, basically on the order of, Jesus is coming and boy is he. Finish the sentence yourself. Jesus is coming to get you. God is coming to grab your toes and toast them in hell where you belong. And unless you repent immediately, it's all coming down around your ears very shortly. Can't you see all the signs out there? The end time signs are here. It's coming. It's coming a week from Tuesday at 7 a.m. Well, we've got some very explicit instructions in the gospel today to ignore that kind of stuff. People will come saying, I am he and the time is at hand. Do not follow them. First of all, it's ridiculous. Secondly, it's arrogant. I mean, my parents are dead. They're better people than I am. God's kingdom didn't come in their lifetime. Who am I to think it's going to come in mine? And thirdly, it's dangerous. It's wrong. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like the mother who keeps telling the kids, if you don't behave, your father's going to give you a whipping when he comes home. It may or may not produce a little marginal improvement in the kids' behavior, but nowhere near as much as the damage it does to their relationship with their father. Well, that's what's wrong with this kind of interpretation of the end times. It destroys people's relationship with their father. The God that Jesus calls Abba is not coming to look for an excuse to toast your toes. There's something different going on here. That's not true. One of the simple two-question tests for theological nonsense. You may choose an alternate word. One, if this, whatever it is somebody's trying to tell you, were true, what kind of person would God be? Two, how does that match up with the God that Jesus describes in the gospel? And this imminent destruction, fire and brimstone God just does not match with the God of Jesus. So set it aside. And most of us do, without a great deal of problem. Unfortunately, many people then go to the other extreme, which is perhaps not quite as dangerous, but almost. And they just dismiss all of this future coming of the kingdom, anything together with the future. Live in the present. Well, they're good people. They're well-meaning people. They have a strong tradition in Greek philosophy. And Greek philosophy is profound. Problem is, it's profoundly wrong. Greek philosophy has a world that goes around in circles. It accomplishes nothing. It is a world of sound and fury, a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Sure, you have to live in the present. I mean, where else have you got to live? But if all you're doing is living in the present, you're missing the meaning of the present. The present is just an instant poised between a long past and a long future. We live out of a past and into a future. God didn't start creation yesterday. There's been 13 billion years of evolution. We've got a very patient God who's been working on a project, getting it up to this point. To ignore all of that is just blasphemy. It ignores what God has been putting God's own self into for a longer time than you or I can imagine. And likewise, it doesn't stop here. It goes into a future. It has a point. Today, it may be that you're being called before captains and kings. It may be that the truth is oppressed. It may be that greed and injustice prevail. It may be that all of those things are happening. But that's not the point. God is at work. Evolution is happening. God will prevail. It says here, by perseverance you will secure your lives. The Greek word is hupomone. Another translation for it would be patient endurance. By putting up with it and struggling against it, you will save your lives. We're here to carry on the process of what God is doing. And it's important to keep that kind of dimensionality to it. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep focused on the goal. Sing, Augustine says, but keep walking. Sing, but keep working. It may be a song about weariness and woe. It may be a song about anticipation and joy. But keep walking. Keep working. Keep that directedness towards the kingdom. A lot of intellectuals, quote unquote, these days ignore all of that, primarily because they don't want to be associated with that other nonsense about, you know, Jesus is coming and he's going to drop a hammer on you. But they're equally wrong. Because their existence becomes meaningless, stripped of its future. There's this wonderful phrase in the Missal. After the Our Father, there's a prayer that says, we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior. Joyful hope. That's what we do. We put up with all the nonsense with perseverance, with patient endurance. And then we look forward in joyful hope to what is to come. This is not a tale told by an idiot. It's a tale told by God that is calling us forward into a future. And we look forward to that future in joyful hope. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.